Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It's Fightful's The Hump with
Jimmy Van
and
Sean Ross Sapp.
Fightful.com.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It's WrestleMania week. Most importantly, it's Sean Ross Sapp main evented yet another show week. My God, can you believe it, Jimmy? Here I am, a bona fide main eventer.
Bona fide.
Sitting here talking to you on the air. I got a new sign that is too bright to turn on, so I'm going to try to see if a dimmer switch will work. Mm-hmm. I've got my studio back in the fold for this weekend, WrestleMania. I'm traveling out allegedly today. Jimmy, how you doing?
I'm good. And didn't you main event that show Friday, the day before Matt Cardona then goes on Collision? He was on your show Friday, right?
Yeah. I mean, he was jerking the curtain for me. That's what he was doing.
Right. Probably because he had to get the hell out of there and get to London, Ontario, Canada.
No, probably because he recognized the star power, Jimmy. That's probably why. Please leave a thumbs up on this video, guys. You know what we're talking about today. We are largely talking about the CM Punk interview, about the AEW releases, WrestleMania, all that good stuff. Please leave a thumbs up. Get your super chats and humper chats in over on FightfulSelect.com. You can get a Q&A any damn time you want it because I'm doing one on that Discord nonstop. We've got a bunch of exclusive interviews dropping this week. Pac-Man Jones today.
Really?
Of all people. Yes, via Bet Online, our wonderful partners. Let's go ahead. We'll sort of get their plug out of the way. I want to ask you, Jimmy, what you think of these lines.
Sure.
Not necessarily the lines, but I'll give you some insight on it. By the way, BetOnline, trusted for 25 years. They are the best in the business. We wanted to get into business with them. They have the best bonuses. You can bet big with the high limits. They have the earliest lines. You can bet on pro wrestling there, my friends. I have won people money doing this. I told you guys, bet on Sting. Bet on Samoa Joe at World's End, and I might have one for you here today. The biggest favorites on the show, Bianca, Jade, Naomi. I think that is accurate, Jim.
They're the biggest favorites of anybody on the show.
Of anybody on the show.
Interesting. Interesting. I mean, they're clearly going to go over. But very
the second biggest favorites at this point are Roman Reigns and The Rock.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I see that one too.
I think I see that one as well.
Yeah.
We'll sort of go from the top down as far as that goes. Next highest favorite, Bayley. It certainly seems like her moment.
Yes, I agree 100%. She deserves it too. And I know that she asked for some band to do her entrance and I was kind of pushing on social media, like give her damn entrance. And then Somebody said the band broke up. Are you aware of that?
I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
I don't either. I've never heard of them. But if anybody, I think, deserves it, if not Becky, then Bayley, in terms of being like the very loyal soldiers for all these years, doing everything they're told to do and putting in good work, Bayley deserves it. Give her damn entrance. Come on.
Big favorite, LA Knight and Drew McIntyre. I see both of those in the Bet Online odds as likely to happen. There's more upside in the future with LA than AJ, and then Drew has earned it.
Yes, 100%. Agree with all of that so far. I've got the card written down, and I highlighted all of my picks, and so far they completely match so far.
Also, healthy favorites, Logan Paul on BetOnline AG. I think that Owens and Orton cost each other that match and feud afterwards.
Agree.
And then Cody Rhodes is a sizable favorite over Roman Reigns.
Agree with that one, too. Yep.
We've got Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits, actually Rhea Ripley, a heavy favorite over Becky Lynch.
Yep.
I also agree with that. And then we have some that by wrestling standards are fairly close. We're talking about the minus 175s, minus 200s, minus 250s. For those of you who don't know, that's what, like, basically you have to bet that much to win $100 on them.
Right.
Jey Uso, Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits, Gunther, and Dominic and Santos Escobar are all favorites. I look at WrestleMania and I'm like, man, Rey Mysterio is like such, he's a mainstream name to a lot of fans and to a lot of athletes. I think that might be the best underdog pick is Rey Mysterio, Dragon Lee. And I'll tell you why, Jimmy. FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business, reported that Jason Kelsey was training for an appearance. Well, what's his connection to pro wrestling? He's a Philadelphia Eagles legend. And I was like, well, after his brother won the Super Bowl, he was partying in a Rey Mysterio mask. All night long. Imagine if he shows up in a Philadelphia-inspired Rey Mysterio mask and bumps Dominic Mysterio around the ring. To me, that one makes an awful lot of sense.
You know what his other connection is to pro wrestling?
What's that?
His brother's girlfriend was neighbors with Jeff Jarrett and used to babysit the kids. You know, when I was looking at the card, the one that for me was the biggest head scratch, the tag team match, the tag team ladder match.
Yes, I agree.
Two teams are probably going to win. Michael Cole made a point of saying the match continues until both sets of titles have been claimed, which tells me they're going to split them. And that was hard for me when I was looking at the list. I pick Awesome Truth to win one set and New Day to win the other set and Judgment Day to lose both because Damian Priest has the briefcase. But the tag team match for me was difficult. Like, do you think one team wins both sets of belts? Do you think that two teams win? Who would you pick for the tag team match?
I think Awesome Truth have to win one because R-Truth has never won one of those. And if they split them, go with it. Maybe New Catch Republic or somebody like that. I wouldn't be too picky about the SmackDown end. Right. I could see those switching with quick order.
Right, right.
Otherwise, BetOnline AG doesn't have odds for those quite yet, but I'm sure they'll get them. I'm told they're working on some prop bets as well, so that should be good.
Interesting, and they definitely are leaning heavier into celebrities this year, you know?
Yeah.
Because it used to be, of course, it used to be all about the celebrities back in the 80s and 90s, and then Vince McMahon kind of pulled back on it. This year, they really seem to be, I mean, Meek Mill is in there, and Lil Wayne is in there, and now you're talking about Kelsey. Yeah. They're really leaning heavier into it. It's interesting. It's interesting.
Hot ticket. Cody James says, Sean, what helps you shoot hard? Oh, brother. And he said, and Luis says, Paramore did split sometime, but they reunited for their latest album last year. So there you go.
Okay, there you go. There you go. Bailey deserves it. She deserves it, man. And you know what I love about her, too, is I see her do interviews where she'll talk about it because sometimes she's not booked the best, right? And sometimes she's booked to, like, put everybody else over. And I've seen her do interviews where she kind of defends it all. And she says, Hunter's got my back. And she, to me, has been a very loyal employee for that company. So I would definitely give her damn entrance. It's not asking a lot.
Yeah.
You know,
reminder guys, leave a thumbs up. Dero says, hello, SRS and Jimmy. Have you heard anything about the former WWE stars or Kalisto's injury with Matt Riddle? I have not. I just saw a post about it that happened recently.
Where was this?
I don't know. I don't have any like additional information on that. I saw that Matt Riddle was, I didn't talk to him, but I saw that he was at Squared Circle Expo and all that. But I don't have any more information on that. I'm sorry. I wish I did. Any update on why Mox is off AEW TV? Yes. FightfulSelect.com, Matthew, reported that it was planned time off. And he had bookings in Mexico, which he did this past week, a great show, and in Japan. So, yeah, he's taking some planned time off, but working elsewhere.
He deserves
it. Matt Hennessy asked what our Mania predictions were. I mean, I can go right down the line myself and give them. And if you want to pull up the Wikipedia card, you can quickly as well. My picks.
Why don't you do it by night, Sean? Go night one, night two.
Night one, I got Rhea Ripley, Gunther, Awesome Truth for sure, and I'll say New Catch Republic as well. I think Jimmy Uso wins.
Jimmy, really?
Yeah, I think they'll have Jimmy win. Maybe stack the deck against anti-bloodline people.
I got Jay winning that one.
Yeah, Bianca, Jade, Naomi. I got the LWO, and I've got the bloodline winning.
You have the LWO as well. Okay, so I got Dom and Santos winning that one. I got Jay winning. I got Awesome Truth, and just like you, I'm not sure about the other one. So New Catch Republic is good enough. Jade, Bianca, Naomi, Rhea Ripley, Rock and Roman. Now, the Intercontinental title match, I think Gunther's going to win. However, they're doing the whole Rocky montage thing. You know, Chad Gable is all of a sudden Mick, all of a sudden. And the way that they're setting this up, and they're in Philly, Sean. So they're doing a Rocky montage thing in Philadelphia. I kind of question if Sammy's going to pull that one out.
I think Gable turns on Sammy.
Yeah, it's possible. Possible. Yeah.
Night two, I have Drew McIntyre, Bayley, LA Knight, Logan Paul, The Pride, probably, and Cody Rhodes. I think that six-man's Philadelphia street fight is going to surprise a lot of people. I think that match has the chance of, I don't want to say stealing the show, but surprising so many people. This is a sirloin beef, sons of bitches, table breaking, ladder breaking. I love that they have a car crash match on each night. I think that's a good idea.
They copied WrestleMania 13 for anybody that's an older school fan.
Oh yeah.
So going into WrestleMania 13, in case you're not this old, as old as I am, one of the matches that didn't have a lot of fanfare going in was the Nation of Domination against Ahmed Johnson and the Legion of Doom. So what did they do? They were in Chicago. They made it a Chicago street fight. And that match, very much like what you're talking about, that match became one of the biggest matches of the night at WrestleMania. They're doing the exact same thing. They're deeming it a Philadelphia street fight. And that match needs it because that program has been kind of dead in the water. I don't even know why they're feuding anymore.
Yeah.
So it's kind of dead in the water and it needs that stipulation. And you're right. There's a very good chance. I think Io and Bayley is going to surprise. I think those two have motivation to really knock it out of the park. And I'm expecting a lot from Drew McIntyre. I think Drew McIntyre, he has been amazing. I think that he's going to do some good stuff. So I want to ask you one thing on Mania before we move on. And I posted this on Twitter and I got a bit of a surprise.
It's just kind of funny that we're like, before we move on from WrestleMania.
I know.
The week of WrestleMania.
I know. What a week of news. So I posted this on Twitter and I got a bit of a polarizing reaction. So once again, they're going to do the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal on SmackDown instead of at WrestleMania. I understand it from the mentality of it's an attraction. Your TV partner is your biggest revenue stream. Give your TV partner the attraction. But they've got pre-shows on both nights of WrestleMania, 2 hours long, the pre-shows. Yep. Why not give your talent the opportunity to work a stadium show and reward them for the work they put in over the year? Because SmackDown's going to do well anyway. It's the last SmackDown before Mania. It's going to do well anyway. So why not have a men's battle royal on one pre-show, women's battle royal on the other? Some people responded to me that didn't agree. And some said WrestleMania is supposed to showcase the best of the year. And some people said in sports playoffs, you don't have every team in it. But here's the difference. Pro wrestling is scripted. You know what I mean? You're not necessarily where you are on the card because of your talent. The booking plays a big hand in it. You're telling me Chad Gable, for the work he's done over the last year, doesn't deserve a match at WrestleMania?
Yeah, I agree.
Shinsuke Nakamura, his new presentation, you're telling me he doesn't deserve a match just because he was booked to lose? So I think they should do it on the pre-show of each night, and it's unfortunate they're not. And yeah, that's my opinion on that.
Completely agree with you. It makes too much sense.
Right.
Just Mass says, Chili Mania stars hustling to that heated ring. Oh, yeah, it's going to be cold. Listen, I would have been in the press box, but I'm glad that I'm going to be home. Right. KE775 says, any guesses on Raw after Mania surprises? Do you think they go all out? I do think they go all out. I think maybe that's if you don't see The Rock turn on Sunday, maybe you see him.
Yes.
Turn and lay out Roman pretty heavily Monday. I could see a Tama Tonga or a Jacob Fatu or somebody like that, although I don't know that they have signed.
Yep.
I could see that as well. And anything that you're looking forward to?
NXT call-ups. There's been a lot of teases on Roxanne Perez. She's one. I know Cora Jade is injured, but she's another one I could maybe see them show her face. There's been talk about Carmelo. I think we're going to see some NXT call-ups.
I just want to say, like, I'm so happy about the team we've built at Fightful. Like, I mean, In the Weeds is the best wrestling morning show, in my opinion. And they're doing interviews all the time. And nobody covers the indies like Steven Jensen. But Corey Brennan has become the guy for NXT Scoops, period. I love that he's been popping on the NXT shows. So we've got him in the fold. And then we announced this week that Andrew Zarian and Rich are joining Fightful starting next week. With Beyond the Bell, I am so happy to have them. We're building a super team here. I'm just so excited.
Have you guys seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt, staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looked more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix it with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike the other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade, has hundreds of five-star reviews. I love the taste of this. I love the way that I feel after drinking it. I've never felt better. My digestion is smoother, body looks leaner, I have energy all day. I just feel younger. And the flavor is so much better than other green drinks. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Every purchase is packed with a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, boosts of energy, and overall a healthier body, go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For those of you who didn't see, Beyond the Bell will air next Tuesday morning and air every Tuesday morning. Also, a big topic, Crazy 101 says thoughts on the Ronda Rousey situation. So here's what Ronda Rousey said on News Nation. She said that she remembered a situation in which Drew Gulak walked past her, grabbed her sweatpants string and pulled it. I am completely against any unwanted touching of any kind. Like, Keep your hands to yourself. Keep your hands to yourself. I saw some people incorrectly saying that he reached down her pants and stuff like that. She didn't claim that.
Right.
Like, you got to be careful with what you claim there.
That's where people go, Sean.
Yeah, and I'm not, you know, saying, oh, well, it's okay then. It's not okay. It's right. You don't bother somebody else's shit when they don't want it bothered. But yeah.
I thought she said she walked by him in the hallway. I thought she said, and something like that. And it was like a busy hallway. I mean, you know what? Of course, people on the internet, right? They want to be judge, jury, executioner. They want him to be fired already. Come on. There were witnesses aplenty. It was a busy hallway. I think that he deserves the opportunity for more information to come out on it first. So otherwise, I really don't have anything to say.
I saw people saying, oh, well, she's trying to keep herself relevant. Listen. Ronda Rousey does not need to keep herself relevant.
Sure.
That is not a situation in which she needs to do. That is not something that she's going to just cook up for that.
And she's promoting her book, isn't she? Isn't that what she's been doing?
But I mean, she doesn't need it to stay relevant. She could have made that same claim without a name, and it would have probably done the same. Well, probably it wouldn't have done the same, but we'll see what they do. I'm asking WWE people about it constantly. I doubt there's going to be a lot more information that comes out.
Right.
Ashley says, or Ashley became a YouTube member. Thank you, Ashley. We need to post some new member stuff, by the way. Travis G says, Fightful Select, best $5 in the business, going to AEW and Worcester tonight with a friend who's never seen wrestling before. Heard anything about tonight or Collision for surprises? I've heard of something surprising that is supposed to, that was possibly be happening. So I heard a couple things. I know one's supposed to, but I can't get it necessarily confirmed. Pat says, good morning. Thoughts on Harley Race. Much love.
that's random.
I was rewatching the Royal Rumbles a few years ago, and I was shocked at like how good Harley Race still was as King Harley Race.
Absolutely, he was. Sure.
I love the teeter totter spot where he's sitting on the second rope and he gets punched and he holds and he just keeps going back and forth. I'm stealing that for an upcoming match for sure. But yeah, I like Harley Race.
I mean, even as a older heel in WWE, he's like dropping gut-wrench suplexes. And I believe WrestleMania 3, because I'm an old school guy, he beat the Junkyard Dog with a belly-to-belly suplex. That was his finisher in that match. Mm-hmm. He could go. And one thing about Harley Race, too, is he I'm sure everybody's heard the story. He was the NWA champion. Vince McMahon offered him money not to drop it to Flair and to come to the WWF. And Harley Race was a man of his word, and he went through with it and did not take the money. So, very respectable guy. I'm sure you've all heard the story about him showing up in St. Louis with a gun to face Hulk Hogan. He was an old school guy, and he didn't like that they were taking over the territory, but he was a legend for sure.
Julian Francisco says, with Vazarian hire, Sean no longer has the best beard at Fightful. I don't have a great one anyway. Rock Hard Joel Wood says that Drew Gulak responded on X, but based on info provided, I can't pick a side one way or another. So his response is, quote, backstage at a WWE event in 2022, I saw Ronda talking with a group in the hallway. I stopped to say hi and shake all their hands. And in an attempt to shake her hands, I accidentally touched her drawstring. Complete accident, and one I had apologized to her for the mishap. I could see that as well. I could see that as well. Zach Schimmel says, hope everything is well. Sean and Jimmy, should be a good week for wrestling all around. Let's enjoy some good wrestling. Subscribe to Select. Yes, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the business. It's going to be one of our most loaded news weeks of all time. And part of that might include Julia, who we have a couple super chats about. Have you heard about her traveling to the U.S.? Yep. And Trey Sherman says, prediction. Really? Yeah, prediction. Rossi and Juliet stand and deliver with Rossi announcing his new promotion and being under the WWE umbrella. Well, I'm just saying, I had tweeted out some stuff a while back regarding that, and a lot of people told me that I was wrong. So,
you think she might show up at WrestleMania? Think that's a possibility?
No, I think she'd be at Stand and Deliver, if anything. I think that she would go to NXT.
NXT
first. Right. Mr. ACFA says, any news on Matt Cardona? Yeah, we had a bunch on FightfulSelect.com. He is not signed. This deal came together last week, and they had to switch some stuff up at Squared Circle Expo. They booked the match with Nemeth. He jerked the curtain for me, all that good stuff.
And then
for me. I main evented, and then we did the show. So, guys, we're about to get into the CM Punk stuff, but before that, I want to tell you about NordVPN, because, listen, this is going to be a hefty conversation that we're about to have. I have long talked with you guys about the content that you can access with NordVPN.com/Fightful, but it doesn't just stop at pro wrestling. You can get MMA and boxing pay-per-views at a much more affordable price when you change your virtual location with just one click using NordVPN.com/Fightful. It doesn't stop there either. Football games. Man, if you want to check out those out-of-market football games, you don't have to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars. You can get NordVPN.com/Fightful and just change your virtual location. How about baseball games? They make it harder than ever to actually watch baseball games. It is a task, not with NordVPN.com/Fightful. They got everything you need, in addition to all the threat protection and security that comes with NordVPN. But if you want that content, NordVPN.com/Fightful is right for you. We're going to talk some more about Mania in a bit. I wanted to get to this super chat because Alex Silva sent a very generous one. He says, is it just me or after the doc, I feel like Roman is close to retiring. After the Rock match, I feel like that's what he wants, then retire or become a special attraction. I could be wrong. Well, I mean, I just want to preface this by saying I don't know his priorities financially, personally, professionally. He said he's still on very potent medication for leukemia and stuff like that. So, I mean, that is a motivation and a priority I will never understand the variables of. But, I mean, he's making a ton of money to not do a ton of traveling or work right now. I can't imagine that he would pass that up because he's on a multi-year deal. But, Jimmy, any thoughts on this?
He told Pat McAfee he's got a long way to go.
There you go.
So, a matter of fact, I think he said 10 years. I think he told Pat
be nice.
10 years. Yeah.
He sees The Rock right now, and that can be him coming back within that spell.
Absolutely. And like you said, he's working 10 matches a year, maybe a dozen matches a year. He can keep that schedule and make millions. Why the hell wouldn't he? He told Pat McAfee he's living his dream.
Yeah.
So I don't see him going anywhere. I think he's doing just fine.
Let's see how many matches he even worked last year. And
less last year than the year before.
Well, for sure, less than the year before, because I think that was the start of when he went part-time. He worked 11 matches last year, and the year before, it was way more than that. He worked... Would you believe that Roman Reigns worked about 45 matches in 2022?
That many?
Yeah, really? Because he did a lot of live events as well.
Interesting, interesting. And he's on pace to do less than that this year. Less than 12, although he's working double duty at Mania, so there you go.
Corey David says, does NXT remove Josh Briggs from the triple threat? So I talked about this on Discord. From what I remember, Josh Briggs went to, if I'm remembering this correctly, they said pretty expensive personal expense to exonerate himself within the company. So they were aware of that stuff that popped up, and they, I guess, I don't know if they handled it or exonerated him or what the deal was. Dante says, the Bray documentary was amazing. The main takeaway I had was Vince's booking stood in the way of creativity for almost all of Bray's run. I mean, they were very realistic about it. I liked that they, you know, this was an ode to Bray, but they were like, you know, sometimes we did have trouble making sense of it in the ring. And sometimes that is a big issue as well. I thought it was an incredible documentary. And I loved the tease that FightfulSelect.com reported on that Bo Dallas is coming back.
I haven't seen it yet. I plan to watch it this weekend. But as far as Bo Dallas goes, I really hope that they're not going to try to do something with Uncle Howdy with that mask.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know how that's going to work. But I absolutely think good for Bo Dallas that he's going to get a shot.
This is a first. My flight got delayed by a half an hour. Then they hit me up and they said, oh, by the way, no, it's back to its original time.
Really?
That I've never had that happen before. In my
interesting,
life.
Interesting. Hopefully, you're not.
I mean, that's a good problem to have, I guess. But Bad Robot says, I go back and listen to last year's Mania post shows often. Sean and Will were amazing. Who's doing the post shows this year? Much love to the whole team. Well, here we're getting Will Washington back for the just kidding. It's gonna be me. That was one of the reasons I came back. I had people saying you need to stay till Monday or Tuesday. So a little bit of insight on that decision. One, I've got family that I need to be around, so I don't necessarily want to take 6-7 days away from them. But we save like what $1,000 over those days, Jimmy, not having hotel, travel, all that stuff, because those are the expensive days. Then sponsors pay us more when I'm on the air and we get more super chats. So I was like, you know what? I'll come in. I got Luis doing some moderating. I'll do it in my studio. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to send the link in to all of our people that are there because Iridian, Cresta, Kate, Riccicino, like so many of our on-screen people are going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be doing a lot of that. And I'll be here both nights, guys. I'm very, very excited for it. Van Twinblade says, run down the collective. We all know it's going to be better than Mania, Bussy versus Bloodline. I don't have the collective rundown, but I know that Bloodsport is a must-watch for me every year. Somebody asked me if I was going to do the Joey Janela spring break thing. I would love to do that again. I'd love to do the clusterfuck again, but I won't be there. If I was there until Sunday, I would have hit up Joey Janela and told him I was doing it. And he would have told him I was doing it, asked to do it, but... Yeah, but
they announced anybody aside from Shayna Baszler for Bloodsport?
Yeah, they've got
like WWE related.
Oh, no. Okay. But I've got a story on that coming to FightfulSelect.com. So let's briefly touch on the AEW cuts. We covered most of this.
Yeah.
We covered most of this on Monday, but Fightful Select on our free tier, mind you. We don't monetize that element of things. But in addition to Santana being gone, Kevin Kelly being gone, the boys, Dasha, Jose the Assistant, Jorah Jole, Anthony Henry, Gravity, Stu Grayson, Parker Bordereau, and Slim J have all been cut. Parker ended up having to delete his tweet saying he was still with AEW after our report, because he got released the day after we had a report saying he was still there. Stu Grayson departed AEW, came back, got released again. They didn't seem like there was a creative plan. Gravity, I know there were people in AEW that weren't necessarily impressed with him. Slim J did everything he was asked of and was in the Trust Busters and was heavily featured. Jorah Joel, people didn't even know he was under contract. Don't know what to say there. Jose the Assistant was very prominent on AEW TV for a while. Dasha's one of their best ring announcers. Like, she's incredible. Mm-hmm. The boys have been heavily featured on ROH, had worked to get a contract. Now they've been released. I'm supposed to speak with them soon. Anthony Henry sustained an injury outside of AEW. And that's the one that I'm like, okay, listen, I know he sustained an injury outside of AEW, but the structure of your contracts allows for this. So I wish they would have just kept him under a deal until he was healed up. Mm-hmm. Then you can release him. Nulak City says, will someone at Fightful ask TK about the releases, going back on his comments about not firing people? I know there's an ROH call today. It's tomorrow. It says, what events are you going to in Philly this weekend? Would buy you a daddy soda. I don't know what the hell that means. But yes, I'm positive somebody's going to ask Tony Khan. I'm positive. But your thoughts on the releases. But for the record, I'm going to a Make-A-Wish event, Monster Factory,
good.
Wale Mania, WWE Junket, WrestleCon, hopefully SmackDown, and then something Saturday morning. But can't pass up the opportunity to go to a Make-A-Wish event.
Awesome. Awesome. My family loves Make-A-Wish. And my daughter, who is 10 years old, she did a thing for Make-A-Wish at her school.
Yeah.
So that's cool. That's cool to hear. As far as the releases go, this is a necessary evil when it comes to this kind of business. It's an unfortunate reality. AEW had, and they still have, way too bloated of a talent roster. They can't allocate television time to everybody that they have under contract. And so this is going to happen. I know that a lot of people tried to correlate the Punk interview earlier in the day with the cuts, because Punk shit on AEW a lot. Unfortunately, I've been in a position where I've had to fire people before. The reality is, you don't turn that around spur of the moment, especially when you're talking about 10 people. It takes time, right? You have to look at their existing deals. You have to see what kind of rights they have. You got to work with an attorney. You've got to do paperwork. So I understand that this has been playing out for a little while. My only issue that I have with it is I thought it was tone deaf for them to carry through with it on Monday, because not only was Punk very critical of AEW, but there were a lot of AEW wrestlers during the day that defended AEW, posting on social media things like hashtag thank you AEW. So
I think they had started by the time that interview was already out. I think they had started earlier in that afternoon.
Okay. So before the interview was even done.
I believe so. Yes.
Okay. Okay. That makes a difference. That makes a difference. Otherwise, for me, I thought it was bad optics, and I understood it had nothing to do with the Punk interview. It was complete coincidence. Takes time to prepare the stuff. I get it. But I thought it was bad optics, and you could have waited a week. But like you said, if they had already started before the interview even dropped, it's a necessary evil. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but it is, man. You know,
I'm never going to celebrate somebody losing their jobs. Looking at this practically, most of these people did not factor in creatively. Anthony Henry factored in creatively if he were around. Jose and Dasha did, and the boys did. There were a few that people didn't know were under contract. Parker has not gotten better in the ring at all. I saw him do a AAA thing, and he clotheslined somebody in the throat with his fist.
Did he?
It looked bad. But hey, I hope he gets better, and I hope he succeeds. I hope all of these people succeed.
Sure.
Stu Grayson will get bookings. Gravity will go work and improve. Anthony Henry is probably going to go on a prove a point type of run on the indies, I think.
I saw him post that he doesn't know if he's going to continue.
I hope he does. Mm-hmm. I really hope he does, because he's a very talented guy, and I know he's bummed out. I spoke with him a little bit, but I hope that hope he does for sure. So let's talk about the CM Punk interview. What Mr. Acosta says, should he have let people go who didn't want to be there? You also don't want to give people the impression that they can just misbehave and get the hell out of their deal. So no, I don't think so. But let's talk about the CM Punk interview. Have I heard any thoughts about Tony on Punk? Not really. I haven't heard he was like livid or anything like that. heard he would, you know, eventually expected Punk to talk about it.
Sure.
Would I ever consider doing a reaction live watch along to interviews like the Punk interview? Yeah, I would actually.
It was 2 hours long, Sean.
Yeah, it would take forever. But no, actually, I was going to one time have David Bixenspan on for us to, because I'm not a historian. He is way better at that than me. Like when that's just not me, but the idea that I had was that, like, because Bix he's just much more knowledgeable about this, sit down through one entire Hulk Hogan interview and he point out every lie of Hogan.
There's a rumor Hogan's going to do a podcast.
Yeah, I heard that.
That would be ridiculous.
It should be called Oh Brother, because yeah, that's what I'll be saying over and over again.
He does stretch the truth. And I want to say something too, and this is just a rumor, but I just want to mention it because I think PW Insider reported that there might be plans for Hogan at WrestleMania. I asked Sean a couple weeks ago, so I've got ties to Hulk Hogan. We've got mutual friends. And one thing I heard was that WWE was thinking about having him induct Muhammad Ali at the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
they haven't announced it, but that's what I heard.
Sure. Sure.
So,
man.
Well, let me ask you about Punk. So, so I have thoughts on it, but the first thing I want to ask you, Sean Rossap, is do you want to take another victory lap about Survivor Series?
So what I find funny is that, you know, there were some people that'll be like, Sean's taking that victory lap. I have had executives from both WWE and AEW laugh their ass off at the Mercedes and Punk victory laps. Listen, we work really fucking hard at what we do. And there's this misconception that one, I hate to say, like, man, you guys really don't know how this works, but until you do it, you really don't understand how it works. And there's nothing wrong with that, because that's why I ask questions about wrestling, because I don't know how it works until I ask a question. But the idea that there were references to CM Punk months before,
yep,
and it was being, and talent, creative, staff, execs were all working, me and everybody else. Guys, these people cannot work in unison to work people in that sense. There's always somebody that's going to, like, be like, no, listen, this isn't the way that it's happening. It's just, I don't know. I got a message back from someone that is friends with Punk, because I was like, you know, he buried media, but he confirmed literally six of our reports. And that person said, well, I can tell you this wasn't about you. And I said, right. Okay, well, I wish it would have been a little more specific, because obviously people are going to be like, Lane's going after Punk. Listen, guys, I was very transparent about where Punk's side of the story came from. And if it's Punk's side, it was Punk. And I will be abundantly clear. He is not the type of person that is afraid to put his name on stuff. He's not. You can think whatever you want about him. And, you know, there were people talking about, you know, he really bodied SRS. He and I have had, like, some minor contentious interactions in the past, but just, like, out of frustration. Again, if he had any particular issue with me, he would, I'm sure, be more than happy to voice it to me either personally or via those communications. He confirmed our complete timeline of events. And then Denise went on the post-Raw show and said, yeah, Sean told me that the Monday of before Survivor Series that they had a talk. And that's what he went out and said. He confirmed that he didn't sign his deal before he went out there. He confirmed that less than 10 people knew about it. He confirmed that the references weren't about him.
He did say he signed it before he went out there.
Yeah. Gorilla right before he went out.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
He confirmed a half a dozen of our stories and debunked none of them. So I was very happy about that. It was, listen, there was like one person I saw that was like, you know what? I gave you some shit. You were right about it. And I appreciate that. And I don't expect it. And I don't feel like I deserve it. But you know what? After how fucking rude people were over that, yes, I was going to take a victory lap a little bit. And post.
I think people think that you, when you're not doing these podcasts, you're sitting in Hunter's office in Stanford. And I think that these people think that you have Hunter and Nick Khan's phones tapped. And so, you know, the second shit happens, yeah, it's just unrealistic. And Hunter himself, after Survivor Series, made it clear this came together really quick. And that wasn't good enough. Apparently that wasn't good enough. So now Punk has come out and said it was the Monday before, you know?
Yeah. I mean, listen, man, I'm very proud of the work we do. I'm very good at what we do. We do a good job. I mean, I think one or two stories we ever had to post a retraction on, which means a story that happened and it just wasn't true that we didn't have some sort of explanation for. And that was, it was like Jerry Lynn being responsible for Sameer Singh's debut or Satnam Singh's debut. I don't know. Caden says media literacy classes should be legally required, should be in high school. But we're just a note, guys, we might go a little long today because there is no list goes on Fightful Select. We're going to run the Omos interview on Select where he pulls receipts on me. But Gregory Nelson says, hi, guys. By the time you're reading this, I'll be halfway to Philly. Wanted to thank you both again for your hard work, especially covering the Punk interview this week. Sean, see you at WrestleCon. Yes, I will see you there. I will. And Joel Wood says you should give Jeremy a raise to transcribe and fact check every episode of Hogan's podcast.
It would take him a day. Boy. It would take him a day.
Well, we're going to talk a lot about the Punk stuff.
Yeah. Whew. Well, let me start with this. So to me, the interview was more of the same. Because going in, I think we knew his feelings on AEW because he's very public at the All Out scrum. So he kind of reiterated a lot of that, including business operations and, you know, his feelings on the way that some of the talent behave and all of that. I think if you went into this interview a big fan of CM Punk, odds are probably decent that you're not a big fan of AEW and you probably left the interview feeling the exact same way. And then on the other side of the coin, I think if you went in a big fan of AEW, odds are probably decent that you're not a huge fan of CM Punk. And again, you probably left the interview feeling the exact same way. But for me, the first thing, and tell me your feelings on it. My first takeaway was he didn't seem to take any accountability or responsibility for his role in some of the negative things that happened during his run. Like, for example, Brawl Out. Now, he said he signed an NDA and he couldn't talk the details of Brawl Out, but he kind of joked about the scrum and he called it one of the greatest promos of his career, even though it was a very unprofessional moment for him. Now, granted, as you and I talked about, Tony Khan should have been the boss and he should have cut him off and he should have veered him back on topic and he didn't. But Punk's a veteran and he has to know that what he did was not professional. And then with the all-in incident at Wembley with Jack Perry, in one sentence, Punk said he tried to do the responsible thing. And then like two sentences later, he said, I choked him a little bit.
So, right?
Yeah. It's not very responsible.
I'm gonna walk through a lot of this stuff because the two bombshells to me were, one, Colt Cabana tried to bury the hatchet with CM Punk. He, before any of this all happened, he approached CM Punk and said, can we talk and like not make things awkward for people at work? And Punk said, I don't want to talk to you without my lawyer.
Right.
However, I know that Punk took issues with the Young Bucks and Kenny not wanting to talk to him without a lawyer. And I'm like, okay, listen, there was no physical situation between he and Colt. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, Colt has kept his mouth shut through the whole thing. Colt hasn't said a thing publicly. I can tell you guys the only interaction I've had with Colt Cabana ever about Punk was when I got word Punk was coming back and I said, how do you feel about it? And he goes, I'll believe it when I see it, but I don't really want to talk about that situation because it wouldn't be good for my mental health. The other important bombshell, so to speak, was I respect the fact that he now says, you know, I probably would have handled things differently if I realized maybe we were in different businesses. And he took a shot at Meltzer, which, you know, I don't care about that. But he said, you know, if your decision is you care about 5-star matches more than filling the house, we're in a different business. And if I would have realized that then, maybe I would have approached things differently. Well, WWE right now is white hot. AEW is not white hot. But they are going to get a TV deal in which will make them profitable.
It should.
That's going to happen. Punk had said, I'm in the business of selling at least one more ticket than the last time I was there. Okay. I was at 2 Rep Arena shows last year. One was in January, did 5,500 for AEW. I went there for CM Punk's last collision he ever did there were about 2,000 less people there. During the summer.
It's not all because of Punk.
No. And yeah, I completely agree with that because like when people say Shawn Michaels didn't draw as champion. Okay. Well, imagine how badly they would have drawn if Shawn Michaels wasn't there.
Right.
Imagine how bad that collision would have drawn if Punk wasn't there.
Right.
If he wasn't on the show.
Right.
So I respect the fact that he sees that now and he's like, yeah, you know, different businesses, but there are tons of things I disagree with how AEW runs their business and how they handled this.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Punk sort of Streisand affected the workers' rights lines because I would have never even given that line a second thought if I didn't hear about the issues that were raised about it. He also went and talked to legal about that. With Fightful Selected reported that. I feel like he had some good intentions with these things, though. And everybody's the hero of their own story. But I want to hear what you think about all this.
I mean, a lot of what he talked about when it comes to AEW business operations, structure, issues with young talent, I agree with a lot of what he said. And you and I, and me especially, I guess, I've been critical of AEW from a business perspective. I've been critical of Tony Khan and the way that he's handled things.
They've needed Koshe Irby and you know the in-betweens, Tony and the talent. They needed that far before they got it.
Well, they need a Triple H is what they need, right? But one thing I do want to talk about in defense of AEW, and I... You know, sometimes people call me an AEW homer. Sometimes people call me a WWE homer. I try to call it down the middle. But one thing I want to talk about is Punk said AEW will be sustainable long-term only so long as Tony Khan is willing to pump money into it. That's one of the things he said, right? For all intents and purposes, because he also said, like you said, he said, we're not in the same business. They only care about five-star matches, building a quarter full. We're not in the same businesses. For all intents and purposes, the AEW business model is the same as a WWE business model. They're both media companies. They're not live event companies. WWE 30 years ago was a live event company, but now they make most of their money in rights fees, and AEW the same thing. Most of their money comes through rights fees. Now, if Warner Brothers Discovery was to decide not to renew AEW, would that be catastrophic for AEW? Yeah, it would be, because they'd have to find another television distributor willing to pay them enough money to be profitable at their level, which is probably $100 million plus a year. But guess what? If Netflix were to decide not to renew WWE Raw, that would be catastrophic too, because WWE would have to find a new distributor, not just for US rights, but for other countries too, because it's a multi-geo deal. So both of them, I look at kind of the same way. Now, obviously, WWE is the advantage. They're the industry leader. They got the brand recognition. They got greater reach. They probably have more suitors. But WWE also has the disadvantage of being a public company because they got shareholders they got to answer to. And if they had to get a new deal that wasn't quite at the level of Netflix, the stock would crash and it would lead to cuts across the board, which is not something AEW necessarily has to worry about. Like you said, AEW, obviously they have struggled over the last year. They've taken a hit in terms of their popularity. I know some people are trying to claim that their TV is as strong as ever and the ratings are just reflective of cord cutting. That's not true. I mean, we know that's not true. Their live houses have been down for over a year. WWE house shows now have surpassed Dynamite television in terms of houses.
Yes.
Their popularity is down. However, Dynamite is still a top-rated show on Wednesdays. There's value in that, right? Their pay-per-view still do over 100,000 buys a show. There's value in that. They're going to get a new streaming or a new rights deal. I don't know about the future of Collision and Rampage because they haven't done well. I think they're experimenting with a third hour for Dynamite on Wednesdays, but they're going to get a new deal. And so to suggest that they're only going to be around so long as Tony's willing to pump money in, I don't think that's necessarily accurate. I do think that they have struggled, like I said, but they still got value too. So that's my thoughts on that.
There's a couple other issues that one is a social media issue, because CM Punk used the term betrayed that was mentioned when he showed up backstage at Raw. He did that unannounced. He knew the buzz that would create.
Right.
He was aware. He had a contentious relationship with AEW. There had been a situation where he didn't do a shoot for Collision at that point.
And he said he asked out before Collision. He said he asked for his release.
Yeah, it's not a one-for-one of Naomi and Tamina and Bailey asking if they could go support Mercedes. It's not the same thing. Also, here's my thing. I know why Jack Perry was upset enough to use the line that he used on All In, and that's because he felt like CM Punk had leaked the information about their disagreement. Now, if it happened the way that CM Punk says, where Jack Perry was cursing people out, mm-hmm. well, tough shit, Jack. That's going to emerge if you're mm-hmm. disrespecting people. But I know that was the issue more than the real fake glass, whatever. I also look at CM Punk and I'm like, he's a guy that has made a career off of saying a lot of things like that and getting people to go, ooh, and then making money off of it. Like, he's mm-hmm. very smart about that.
He actually said that. He actually said, keep talking about me because I make money from it.
So, but also it's led to him having physical altercations. Now, I'll tell you a thing I do respect about Punk. In that Randy Orton video they did, Randy Orton said, yeah, I did that to you one time and you came around the corner and you said, hey, motherfucker, I'm right here.
Yes.
Say something. I respect that immensely.
I do too.
Because I am also of the opinion, whether I report something or say something privately or publicly, you run the risk of that person saying something to you about it. And that's what I operate on all the time. Just check my Twitter. It's very clear. So I respect that a lot, that he's doing that. I do think there's a time and a place for it, because what was his issue with the Bucks and Omega? Well, they did it right after his scrum when he was hurt and all that stuff. Well, he brought this to Jack Perry right after his match as well and told Tony Khan, handle this. Well, how much time could have possibly went by between CM Punk telling Tony Khan to handle this and then CM Punk and Jack Perry having an altercation? I feel like Tony might have been a little busy. Might have been a little bit busy in this situation, running the biggest show that AEW has ever had in their entire lives. I think that time has already shown a little bit of growth for Punk, but also, you know, I've known that he's got a chip on his shoulder at all times. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that everybody, you know, everybody wants to be liked. Everybody wants to be liked, and it's not easy to see people say things that you perceive to be untrue about you or incorrect. But naturally, people are going to bring up parallels and contradictions and things like that. We're going to get to some super chats and humper chats. Kim says, Punk bound and determined to make me like him with this interview. Never been a fan, but I'm changing.
Wow.
So, I mean, he's changing some people's minds there. Matt Hennessy says, I'd like to think Punk and Hunter bearing the hatchet and being on good terms means that someday the same can happen with TK, Punk, and the Elite. Me too. What I want to see is all of them in a big roundtable interview in the future explaining their sides of what happened. That's what I would love to see.
Imagine how the business would be different right now today if Tony Khan had said, okay, Bucks, Kenny, Punk, we're meeting on this day at this time in this place and it's mandatory. Imagine how different the business would be today, Sean. There's a chance the Punk wouldn't even be in WWE if they had that sit down. So it is, you know, it's unfortunate. One thing I want to say, Sean, that we've kind of addressed before, but I want to highlight it a little bit. When the Punk interview dropped and then when the AEW cuts dropped, I again saw a lot of people on social media that were like calling for the end of AEW, celebrating the supposed death of AEW, right? We've seen this before. Anybody who watches this podcast who feels that way, who feels like AEW is going to die and they're celebrating it, I want you to answer me this question. You can answer it in the live chat or you can post in the YouTube comments. AEW employs hundreds of people. They employ mothers. They employ fathers. They employ people who have bills to pay. They got mortgages. They got rent to pay. Now, AEW is not going out of business. They're not. But hypothetically, let's say they did. Some of those employees would be able to find work elsewhere in wrestling, but guess what? A lot of them wouldn't. And so, why would you wish death upon an employer that puts people in a situation where they might not be able to make a living in the business? I would love people in the live chat or in the YouTube comments to explain, why would you celebrate that? Why would you celebrate a company to close its doors and leave potentially hundreds of people out of work? Because tribalism is one thing, but come on. Like, these are human beings with bills to pay, man. That's the part of this that I think is stupid.
I've long said that if you celebrate a company going out of business or people losing their jobs, I don't want your money.
It's just dumb.
I don't want your view or anything like
just
that.
Just don't watch the show. If you're a WWE fan and you don't like AEW, that's okay. Just don't watch the show, right? That's the part I don't get.
I got people that comment on Raw and Dynamite and don't ever watch the show. I'll say that I like the segment and they'll be like, no, it sucked.
Right.
All right, buddy.
Yeah.
Okay. Enjoy. We've got New Lack City saying, I've worked for ESPN here in Connecticut. Tired of these old heads on attendance and ratings. All these sports leagues care more about content and media rights money now. Please get out of the 90s model. Well, I mean, I would love attendance to be increased because I just want hot crowds. But yes, different revenue streams. Look, I've said this a number of times. Look at what WWE did with the network. It initially was them cannibalizing their own pay-per-view model and then adding a bunch of other work onto it. But then what did they do? They licensed NXT. They licensed their library. They licensed their PLEs. Then A&E came along and wanted to license their documentaries that were on there as well. So they created four or five different revenue streams out of that network and are now better than ever. Jeff Raidmaker says, I've been all AEW since the beginning, loved Punk before. After Brawl Out, turned on Punk because it seemed like the majority of the fight was initiated by him. After that interview, I'm torn. It did turn my head. Well, I mean, that's the nature of this whole situation, Jimmy, is that one side feels like they were right. The other side feels like they were right.
Sure.
And it's not hard for me to enjoy all of these people as workers and performers and all that. It's just not. Just be a little reasonable about it. You'll be all right.
Yeah, and I think they both are a little bit right. You know, I mean, what Punk said, if what Punk said about the Hangman Page thing played out the way that he said, where before the promo, we sat down, we talked about this is what we're going to talk about. This is how the promo is going to end. Then we go out there after we had just talked about it and he completely changed what he said. If that's true, Punk has a right to be upset. But at the same time, Punk sat at the scrum, all out scrum. He said the Young Bucks who are EVPs can't even run a target. I can't recall what he said about Page, but he shit on Hangman Page too.
He called him an empty-headed dumb fuck.
Right, so you can understand how they would then not be appreciative of that either, right? So they should have sat down in a room and hashed it out. They never did. It's unfortunate.
It's been like 2 years and Hangman hasn't said anything about CM Punk.
Right.
Aaron says, to me, that interview proved to me that Punk hasn't changed. Sounds like he told half-truths and his only goal was to push his own narrative. Very rarely will you hear somebody push a narrative that they were a complete asshole. Like, it just doesn't happen. So I'm not surprised by that. But you know what? The reality is I wasn't there. So I don't know. And hey, the intentions of the Bucks and Kenny Omega might be different than that of CM Punk, because CM Punk, even after that scrum, he sees a closed door being banged down, whether it be pounding or kicking or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. Well, his reaction is on the other side of a closed door. So it's hard for me to judge that without seeing it.
And he did, you know, in his defense, he did say he didn't shit on Tony Khan in terms of, because I think Ariel said, if you saw Tony, what would you say? And he said, I'd say, how you doing? He's a good guy. That's what Punk said.
Said he was a nice guy. Yeah.
He said, I've still got friends in AEW. So I want AEW to do well. I thought it was kind of funny when he was like, I don't want to mention names to get him in trouble. And then he mentioned a bunch of names. But he didn't really shit on the company. He did shit on, you know, their business structure and stuff. But he said, I got friends there. I want them to do well. I thought he came off fine. But like I said, everything I already thought he felt, he kind of confirmed it. Like, there was no surprises for me that way.
Joel Wood says, I'm convinced Punk never wanted to be in AEW. He only went because Vince wouldn't bring him back. Buddy, the amount that he was making, he wanted to be in AEW for sure. It was a big contract, but I feel like now he is where he wants to be. I've heard nothing but positives about CM Punk in WWE so far.
I'm sorry, Sean. I was going to say he did confirm that he was supposed to go to WWE and that everything was agreed to and then Vince kiboshed it. So I agree to a degree. I think that WWE was the initial intention. Vince kiboshed it. Punk's got to make money like everybody else. Mm-hmm. AEW offered him great money for basically one show a week. You'd be an idiot to say no,
Right. And I can tell you guys, if it's just 2 years in AEW, he could have retired too. Right. But yeah, we're crazy. 101 says people got to realize WWE can't hire everyone. So AEW existing is great for business. AEW saved wrestling for many people. Hope they get unmaxed. Yeah. I mean, and look, WWE is good now. AEW's right. got to make sure that they stay hot.
Right.
TNA isn't offering the same contract structure they were before. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Andy says, do you have a timeline on Cody's renewal? I don't. I'm supposed to find out this week. Confidence he wins. I'm confident.
Didn't he say he'll be over 40 when it's done or something? That was
yes,
about it.
Yes. Yeah. Multi-year deal. Any mm-hmm. Drew update? I haven't heard anything new as of yet. Joe says, if what Punk said is true about Tony not handling the situation, busy as he may be, he's still the boss and your biggest star is asking you to do your job, why wouldn't he do it? Joe, it was the fucking start of All In. What are you talking about? They asked Jack Perry to leave after that. Mm-hmm. Like, between that match and Punk starting is when all this unfolded.
And it was like 10 minutes or something.
It was 10 minutes.
Yeah.
10 minutes.
Look at it like this. Look at it like this. Because I understand, again, like there's going to be people that they already have a preconceived notion. They don't like AEW or they don't like yes. Tony Khan. Look at it like this. Pretend Hunter's in Gorilla at Raw. Hunter's in Gorilla at Raw. A match just happened. One of the guys in the match has a problem with the guy in the next match, right? Hunter's in Gorilla. What do you want him to do? If you've got 10 minutes between this match ending and the guy's, you know, getting in the face of that guy in the next match, what do you think Hunter's going to do in 10 minutes?
Yeah.
It's not that easy. The only thing that you could hope is that the wrestlers would have enough respect to just not do anything, to know better, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, listen, yes, you got to handle it, but start of All In, biggest show ever for them. Nulak City says, I've been whatever on Punk because I was out on wrestling during his biggest run, but he turned me off. The all-out scrum was not great. It wasn't professional, but also seemed like Perry took a shot at Shivani Mansuri, not Punk, based on Punk's version. I'm definitely digging into that. For sure, I'm digging into that, and I'm looking into it because, listen, if things happen the way that Punk said they did with Perry cursing out people, mm-hmm. That ain't okay.
You're right.
And that should have been handled individually of that as well.
You're right.
Although the people not wanting to come to work thing, Perry had vacation time planned. You're allowed to take a vacation. Mm-hmm. Van Twinblade says someone needs to sit Phil down and explain to him that real glass isn't a mirror. It's safety glass and indie promotions do it all the time. I mean, I don't think that was particularly the issue. He yep. was like, if you want to do it on Dynamite. That's not what we're doing here. And he said he was a consultant with a contract. He was well within his right to suggest that. Within the show that he has power over, I believe.
But he also made good points. He said, number one, what now if the rental companies don't want to rent to wrestlers because you damaged a rental car? Number one.
That incredible right? point, especially said, AEW wrestlers.
And he said, number two, you smash real glass. What if a shred of glass gets in your eye?
Yeah.
Right? Like, he made very good points about why you shouldn't do it.
He certainly did.
You know?
He certainly did. And the rental car thing, definitely big. How do you guys feel about Punk going back to the First Dance promo? He didn't even count his previous years as WWE's pro wrestling, but now he's home. You know what? I used to watch Roddy Piper pop up on different places. It'd be mm-hmm. WWF in 96. I'm home! Then in WCW, he's like, I'm back home. I've got roots here. Then in TNA, he had the NWA flag, and he goes, NWA is home! I've seen it.
Did Piper do that? I don't remember.
Yes. Because he had an NWA flag backstage and he was pointing at it and he said the NWA is home.
I mean, he did try to start there, I guess. Okay.
I saw him do it three times, and that's what it reminded me of. And listen, as a wise man on Joe Dirt once said,
oh, here we go.
Home is where you make it.
How many times have you seen that damn movie?
A lot. Home apparently, is where you apparently. Make it.
Home and you got to remember his first night in AEW, they were in Chicago, if you want to be technical, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Man, we still got a bunch of super chats, humper chats. Let's get to them. Mr. Acosta says, Jimmy, your thoughts on people on a person saying, I don't think people really wanted AEW. They wanted WWE to do or to be better to your question last week about ratings.
They wanted an alternative, I think, because in 2019, this is kind of one of the challenges that AEW has. In 2019, the WWE product was dog shit. It was. Vince McMahon would book the same rematch 5 weeks in a row on Raw, 7 weeks in a row on Raw. plot holes all over the place in storylines. The product was shit. There was an appetite for an alternative, and AEW filled that void. I do think that when WWE got hot, a lot of the people who had sampled AEW went back to WWE. And if I'm being quite frank, AEW is in a bit of a tough spot, I think, because you can't be WWE light. You can't do 20-minute promo segments and stuff and be WWE light, because I don't think that's what your niche audience wants. But at the same time, when you're focusing on great in-ring all the time, there's not going to be a long-term appetite for that with a lot of fans either. A lot of fans, if they've seen 10 good Will Ospreay matches, they've seen 100 good Will Ospreay matches. So that's kind of the challenge for AEW, but I think they got to stay in their lane. That where they are right now, they're going to get a new rights deal. They are. Yeah. Like maybe people don't want to accept it if you're not a fan. They're going to get a new rights deal. I think they got to stay in their lane, and I think they have to accept that they are the niche alternative. That's just how it is.
Colin has a new article up on Fightful about Tony Schiavone reacting to CM Punk's interview.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Oh, it is interesting. He goes, look, I don't give a shit. That's all I can say. Oh, he brought up your name. Here's what he said. So fucking what? Let's move on. He says, okay, I respect that.
You know what I love about Tony Schiavone?
What's that?
Before AEW started, he worked at Starbucks to get benefits for his family. Mm-hmm. How can you not love that? How can you not love that? Good for that guy. I'm glad he's doing well in AEW.
Let's get through these chats. Corey says 50-50 on Punk at the moment. Glad WWE is giving him a chance. Wrestling is wrestling is wrestling. I want everybody to make their money. I think the business is better when CM Punk is in it. I sure as shit know our business is better when CM Punk is in it. So I'm all for it. Andy says in the MMA hour, he said that he was pandering, saying away from wrestling since ROH. Anyone with sense knew it. You need to be credulous to have believed it. Then don't say it. You don't have to say it. Ahmed says, I'm a CM Punk in AEW, but I don't think I can say who's right and wrong because everybody makes mistakes. However, Tony Khan is still the man to blame, in my opinion. I don't think that's fair. CM Punk or Tony Khan didn't cause issues with Colt Cabana and CM Punk. We did a full timeline about how this started 10 years ago on our YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. Go back and check that out. I might have to add to it now. I don't think he's the person to blame. I do think he could have helped reduce a lot of these issues, though.
Yeah, he didn't start it, but it was a lack of reaction.
Scott Lopez with a very generous super chat. We're about to do two of his because there's one you can have particular insight in momentarily. He says, I'm an AEW mark, but I agree with Punk on a lot of what he said. And extra points for thinking about the victims of Vince, something else no one said. Yes, I thought that his response about Vince was perfect. He said there is no positive. He was like, I think that reparations and amends should be made to those victims, and that's where the energy should be. I thought he handled that fantastically as a person that we have seen grow in that sense. About like we've seen him grow in the manner of which he talks about women because, you know, everybody grows, and he certainly has since I've started following his career. I thought it was a really, really great way to answer that.
And you know how when Cena made the comments on Howard Stern and a lot of people were crapping on Cena, and I on this podcast said to people, put yourself in his shoes before you crap all over him. Punk referenced Benoit. And he said, you know, I traveled with Benoit on the road before he did what he did. And I saw Benoit. Benoit showed him his son taping up his hands like Punk. He's a Punk fan. Right. Mm-hmm. And so Punk said it was difficult for me to accept that Benoit did what he did, but I know he did it and fuck him for it. But it was difficult for me to accept it. It's the same thing. And Becky Lynch, said the same thing. Right. She said that Vince was like a father figure to her. And so it's difficult to comprehend it, but you accept it. It's very much the same thing.
Brian says MJF resurfaces on Twitter and SRS says Dynamite will be newsworthy. Coincidence? Yes. Completely coincidental.
Yeah, but his ex-fiance with the painting.
Yeah, if he's supposed to come back tonight, I don't have any insight about that. But he is still with AEW. Now, Scott sent a super chat that, I mean, very generous, by the way, but one that you might have insight on. He says, Jimmy Van, can we expect any shakeups with the UFC owners being sold to a private equity firm?
No, it wasn't really sold. So Silver Lake was already a major investor, and it was already expected they were going to take the Endeavor stock private. This was not like shocking news that came out. This is already planned. because they weren't happy with the performance of the Endeavor stock and they felt it was undervalued. And so they were already planning to take it private. And the plan, I believe, had been to sell some of the assets of Endeavor. And that's why they moved UFC out, because they didn't want to sell UFC. So that's why they moved it out and put it in TKO with WWE. So it was all planned out. It's I know some people on social media tried to turn it into a bigger story than it really is. Like, oh my God, Endeavor is going private, but it was already planned.
Sure. Corey David says NXT has been killing it. Oba and Sol Ruka, the future. Trick can be top top guy, Lash legend on the main versus Jade or Bianca, because in sports, she's a more accomplished track star, made WNBA real. I mean, he kind of short formed that one, but man, Lash legend has improved significantly. You look at some of the matches she was having when she first started and you see that's why they have that. That's why they have that. I agree. Things are looking real good for them.
And what did you think of Jade's debut on SmackDown? I thought she killed it. She looked amazing.
Incredible entrance. Looked amazing. What an incredible entrance.
Yes. Yes. What a rock star she's going to be for that company.
Just Marquis says, will Cody bring back the black hair? I doubt it. He should.
I don't think so either. Maybe if he turns heel someday. Maybe.
Yeah. Any updates on Tama Tonga and Julia with WWE? Both are expected to go there. That's about all I got. Peyton Carter says, good morning to you both. With Motor City Machine Guns being free agents now, do you think they'll go to WWE or AEW? I think there will be some people pushing for them within AEW. I mean, I could see them making appearances in WWE or NXT.
NXT. I could see it. Not WWE so much.
Thoughts on the CMLL AEW 8-man tag? Oh my God. Not only was that great, the show was great. It was an incredible show. And Luis is saying everybody should seek it out. I watched it delayed, but man, just outstanding. Outstanding. Holbert says, any noise, worries, concern from TKO that more news will come out about Vince over the Mania weekend? Well, yeah, I mean, the lawyer of Janelle Grant is being interviewed by Post Wrestling, who have done great work on that as well. Yeah, so I mean, that's naturally going to be something that they have concern for weeks like this. Jimmy, why did the TKO stock rise because of the Endeavor going private?
Just the buzz surrounding it. I think this is positive for the TKO stock, because if anybody still, you know, wants to invest and believes in the brand, I mean, that's where you're going to go. But a lot of these things are reactionary, right? It's like the day that they announced Rock was going on the board and everything, the stock went up. And remember, I said to you on this podcast, as soon as people comb over that Netflix deal and realize that it wasn't as big of an increase as expected, the stock's probably going to drop, and it did. Yeah. But initially, the initial buzz, Netflix Rock, the initial buzz made it go up.
Jimmy, do you think that Endeavor going private will affect TKO? Will TKO stay public?
Oh, 100% TKO is going to stay public. Absolutely, they're going to stay public. They still think, I know that they've underperformed, and I don't know what the stock's at right now. What is it, $85 or something? I haven't looked lately. But you have to remember, when the new WWE deals kick in, and UFC is going to get a new deal too, when the new deals kick in and they have an increase in their revenue and every quarter they're breaking records, in theory, the stock should go up long term. So nothing's going to change with that.
Meet Normus says, it's a rainy hump day. Let's crank. I love Virgil saying let's crank to me has become a part of our vernacular in the chat. He says, here's a small sack of money for SRS shoulder therapy from all the back padding. Will the entrances for the tag match be longer than the match itself? So our good partners at Bet Online, they were like, hey, what are some prop bets you would put out there? And I said, oh, by far the over under on the entrance time for night one main event. Like, you've got to put
a good
over under on that. Like a guess on that. I think that's going to take a long time. I joked that the entrances are going to open the show and the match is going to close the show.
Right.
But
I mean, Rock's going to take 10 minutes just by himself.
Yeah. I think I need shoulder therapy from that nasty choke slam that I took, Jimmy.
Was that from Hornswoggle?
It was Hornswoggle. Did you see it?
Yes, I did see that. Yes, I did. I saw the clip of that. Beautiful. And I saw your elimination. Don't know what to say about that.
I did everything I was supposed to do. I'll say that.
Okay.
K775 says, is this the last Mania for Seth, Becky, Drew, Finn, or anybody else you know whose contract might be up? I think they all get re-signed. I think all those guys and girls are priorities. So no, I don't think it is.
All I can do is listen to what they've said. And Rollins has said, WWE is my home. I don't want to go anywhere else. Becky was asked by Ariel Helwani, is this your last WrestleMania? She said, no. I don't expect they go anywhere either. I agree with you.
We've got somebody asking to see the choke slam. I'll run a video of it in a moment after we get these super chats. Sable says, SRS and Jimmy, hope you're both well. Thank you. Love the content. Who do you see making a debut Raw after Mania that isn't currently signed to WWE? I think Tama Tonga would make a lot of sense. If not then maybe SmackDown with the OC or something like that. That's the one that I look at and say, okay. Or I think Jacob Fatu as The Rock's solo would be good. I think that'd be kind of cool.
Very interesting.
Speedpunk says Mania weekend is going to be great. Mercedes Martinez and Briscoes in the Indy Hall of Fame Sunday. Gringo Loco versus Amazing Red at Spring Break. Yeah, I mean, not just Mercedes Martinez and the Briscoes. Steve Corino, who is in WWE, is going into it as well. A person whose work I have always adored. Matt Hennessy says, what's cool about WrestleMania is it's the Mania debuts we get this year of Knight, DIY, Santos, Dragon Lee, Cargill, and New Catch Republic. It's wild to think DIY has never been in a Mania match, and yes, I agree. How soon can we expect Bo's return? That I don't know. I mean, that would be a big one for Raw after Mania if they did something related to that.
You get a big pop, too.
Yeah, I mean, if I were guessing, and it is me guessing, it would not be a coincidence because they leaned into it pretty heavily. We got to create something special for Bray, and then the hint at the end and the timing of all this would make a lot of sense. Meet Normus says, Jimmy, would you take a few bumps for charity?
So this will surprise some people, but something like 20 years ago, I actually did some wrestling training and took some bumps.
Hell yeah.
I did it because I just wanted to experience it to try to get a better understanding of what the guys go through. Now I'm pushing 50. However, I will say I'm in better physical shape now than I was 10 or 20 years ago. I'm in the gym 5 days a week now. Mm-hmm. So I could probably do it. Maybe if it's the right situation, maybe I would.
I didn't wrestle hardly at all after Fightful started, and I wrestled about 40, 50 matches before that. Bumping never hurt then. Now it always hurts. And this one actually hurt. Didn't feel great.
Good reaction to that. How many people were there?
It was pretty good. A few hundred people.
That was a good reaction to that. Yeah. Very good. Very good. Hornswoggle's a guy I like too. He seems like a good dude.
He laid out the whole creative of that on the spot when I told him that he was coming in after me. It was wonderful. And to highlight the elimination, he told me specifically, he's like, I want you to go out on that side, and here's why. Puff leans over and laughs at you, the big 400 plus pound fella. And I want to try to eliminate him. And if it's on the hard cam side, the camera won't see me because he's bigger than me.
Right.
So he wanted that. So when fella turned me the other way, I said, oh no, I'm listening to Hornswoggle. I am doing exactly what Hornswoggle says. And I got out on that side.
Awesome. Good.
Let's get through these. Do the workers still get big paydays for Mania? Some of them have deals that are all-encompassing. I'm going to ask this weekend to see if there are any additional paydays, but a lot of people like have their Saudi paydays and everything worked in.
What about merch?
Good question. I'm a lot of these deals are all-encompassing, like I said. Just Marquis says, lastly, need your final prediction for Roman Cody. I think it is Avengers Endgame, and Cody wins with a crossroads in the middle of the ring.
I think Rock turns on Roman. I think that Rock is not there at the beginning of the match. I think that he's not there until all the shit goes down, like you said, Avengers Endgame. Mm-hmm. Then I think Rock comes out and he costs Roman the match, or at least he contributes to the end of the match. And I liked your idea of Roman being the babyface in the whole thing and Rock taking over the bloodline. I like it. But I think Rock costs Roman the match, or at least he contributes.
And we have Bostic T. Jake saying, I'm an OG punk guy. Love the Elite. Just hope after this interview, we can all move on and enjoy wrestling. Thanks for all you do, Sean. I hope so. Rock Hard Joel Wood says, Roman loses Sunday. He disappears. Rock takes over the bloodline. Cut to Triple H style post-Mania 14 promo about Roman dropping the ball. Roman returns as a babyface to fight the bloodline. I love that idea, honestly.
I do too. The only thing is I don't envision Rock's going to still be there after Mania for a while. He's got shit to do. So how do they fill the void? Do they just not say anything for a while and they just move on with other storylines? Like how do you think they fill the void with that? Because Solo's still there. Jimmy's still there. Like you said, if they bring in anybody else like Jacob Fatu or Tama, they're still there.
Yes.
How do you fill the void when Rock and Roman aren't?
Yeah, I agree. Guys, thank you all so much. Thank you to Luis for moderating. We greatly appreciate you, my friend. WrestleMania all week. Got tons of content. FightfulSelect.com. Please subscribe. Until next time, my friends. Actually, we got Will Chisholm saying, if Stone Cold is there, will The Rock do the silly stunner still? Yes, but I don't think he'll do that.
I would love it if he did, but I don't expect that either. There's another one.
Another one, Dan.
Rob Dog.
Rob Dog says, Punk said he texted Triple H before his wedding. Makes it sound like he regretted walking out. But the firing on his wedding day stopped it. You ever heard that? I had never heard about that. I had never heard about that, that story. But it seemed like he was willing to come back. Yes. But that was completely new news as well. Mm-hmm. Jay Frizzle says, MJF just posted a response to The Rock tweet, his first in 2024. Any chance he shows up at Mania? No, he's in AEW. He's in AEW. That's it. In AEW, my friend.
Contracts. It's a
thing. Until next time, guys. We're out. Ha ha ha.